honestly, my heart really is for community, is to build community. I think especially building relationship. And so kind of in line with that, I just kind of wanted to share my heart just about love and how to love. And I just feel like God's really given me this passion about knowing how to love people well. And I think my passion in life is figuring out how to love people better. Like, how do I love people around me? How do I love them well, right? How can I love them in a better way? So that's kind of my passion. And so I kind of want to share with you guys about that and just my heart. Is that okay? Is it cool if I share with you guys my heart? Okay, cool. So I want to share about love and three types of love: a love that protects, a love that gives, and a love that lays down. Okay, and so I'm just going to share about those three kinds of love. And so I just want you to follow with me with that. Is that cool? Okay, so a love that protects. I'm going to start with a love that protects, all right? Can we all turn to 1 Samuel 14? I'm going to read from there. I'm really sorry. Can someone get me a cup of water? I'm going to die. I'm so dramatic. I'm sorry. Okay, 1 Samuel 14. We're going to start from verse 1, okay? We're going to read to verse 14. Okay, 1 Samuel 14, starting from verse 1. It says, One day, Jonathan, the son of Saul, said to the young man who carried his armor, "Come, let us go over to the Philistine garrison on the other side." But he did not tell his father. Saul was staying at the outskirts of Gibeah in the pomegranate cave at Migron. The people who were with him were about 600 men, including Ahijah, the son of Ahitub, Ichabod's brother, son of Phinehas, and the son of Eli, the priest of the Lord in Shiloh, wearing an ephod. And the people did not know that Jonathan had gone. Within the passes by which Jonathan sought to go over to the Philistines' garrison, there was a rocky crag on one side and a rocky crag on the other side. The name of one was Bozez, and the name of the other one was Sine. The crag rose on the north in front of Michmag, and the other on the south in front of Geba. I'm trying my best. Jonathan said to the young man who carried his armor, "Come, let us go over to the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us, for nothing can hinder the Lord from saving by many or by few." And his armor bearer said to him, "Do all that is in your heart. Do as you wish. Behold, I am with you heart and soul." Then Jonathan said, "Behold, we will cross over to the men, and we will show ourselves to them. If they say to us, 'Wait until we come to you,' then we will stand still in our place, and we will not go to them. But if they say, 'Come to us,' then we will go up, for the Lord has given them into our hands. This shall be the sign to us." So both of them showed themselves to the garrison of the Philistines. And the Philistines said, "Look, Hebrews are coming out of the hole where they have hidden themselves." And the men of the garrison hailed Jonathan and his armor bearer and said, "Come up to us, and we will show you a thing." And Jonathan said to his armor bearer, "Come up after me, for the Lord had given them into the hands of Israel." Then Jonathan climbed up on his hands and feet, and his armor bearer after him. And they fell before Jonathan and his armor bearer, killed them after him. And that first strike which Jonathan and his armor bearer made killed about 20 men within as if it were half a furrow's length, an acre of land. Okay, let's pray. God, I just thank you for your love. God, I thank you for community. And I thank you that tonight you're coming to speak to us about love and how to love well, how to love like you love, God. Lord, I just pray that you would breathe your breath on these words. God, they're just words without your spirit. And God, what we want is your words of life. So God, I just ask that you come and breathe your breath of life on us. God, that we'd be filled, Lord. That we'd learn and understand how to love better as a community. We thank you. We love you. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. 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 I am with you heart and soul. I like love. This is one of my favorite stories in the Bible. I'm with you heart and soul. It doesn't sound like from like Lord of the Rings or something. I just imagine like in the movies you're watching and then someone's looking like, "I'm with you heart and soul." I just like love that. I think there's something so powerful in those words. "I'm with you heart and soul," right? So this is the story. So up until this point, the Israelites, they're about to go to war with the Philistines, right? And so Samuel, he tells Saul, he says, "Saul, you and your army, wait for me and I'll be there in 7 days. Do not do anything until I get there." Right? And Saul begins to wait, and he waits for 7 days, and he's waiting for Samuel to show up, but Samuel doesn't show up. And so Saul begins to panic, right? And so what Samuel was going to do was going to come and make a sacrifice before the Lord to bless the army so that they could go to war, right? But Samuel didn't come, so what Saul does is he kind of disregards Samuel's instructions, right? And he just kind of makes a sacrifice before Samuel gets there. So Samuel gets there, and he's like, Saul, what have you done? What did I say? Right? I told you to wait. Saul's like, no, wait. But what had happened was I was waiting, and you didn't show up. So I just thought, I'd just go ahead and do it. Samuel's like, no, I told you to wait. And so now Saul is, like, really sad. Samuel is upset. And so in the midst of all this, Jonathan, he's standing there with his armor bearer, and he's like, you know what? Let's go to the other side, and let's, like, take on these uncircumcised, right? Those were bad words back then. But, he was like, let's go and take on these guys, right? We're going to take them on. And he's like, we can go, and you know what? God can save by many or God can save by few. We don't know. But you know what? I feel like we need to go. And he looks to his armor bearer, and he's like, you know what? Let's go. Are you with me? And the armor bearer looks at him, right? I just imagine it's like a Frodo and Sam moment. It's like, do all that's in your heart. Do all that's in your heart. I'm with you, heart and soul, right? Man, every time I read that, it's just so powerful. I'm with you, heart and soul. Do all that is in your heart. Do as you wish. I'm with you, heart and soul. And basically what the armor bearer is saying, I think what he says is so powerful. He's saying, do all that is in your heart. Whatever is in your heart, it doesn't even matter. It doesn't matter. I don't even care what you decide to do. All that is in your heart, do it. Do as you wish, right? And basically what he's saying is, it doesn't matter what we do, but your presence, the journey, that's what I want to do. That's what I want to do with you. I'm just going to go with you, right? Basically what he's saying is, no matter what you say, I'm going to go. I'm with you, right? Can you think of people in your life? Can you think of people in your life where you just can spend time with them, and it doesn't really matter what you do, but you just, it's just fun. It's nice. Like some people, you sit and you're like, what's next? But with some people, you just sit, right? And just being in the presence is just so nice. And you don't have to think about what to do. You don't think about what to do. Sometimes, so I'm going to talk about my friends a little bit today because I love them. And talking about love, and I love my friends. But my friend Chris, he has this gift where when you're around him, you could just be yourself. You don't have to worry about anything. And you just have fun. And so there are times where I go over to Chris's house and we're like literally both on our beds and we're both on our phones and we're like not doing anything. But it's just nice. And I don't feel bored. But it's just something about being in his presence is just really, really comforting. Do you know what I'm saying? Do you guys have that friend? You guys have a friend like that? Like there are people like that. And there's something so nice about just being in the presence, right? We don't have to think about, like I don't go and when I hang out with Chris, it's like, Chris, what do you want to do? It's like, I don't know, what should we do? What should we do? And then like, what, an hour goes by and we're like, I don't know, what should we do, right? We just like chill and we just kick it. And sometimes it's just really nice. I don't think the armor bearer is necessarily saying that, but what he's saying is your presence being with you is fine. Whatever is in your heart, that's fine. I'm just going to be with you. Wherever you go, I'm going to go with you, right? And this is the thing. The armor bearer, he knew where Jonathan wanted to go. It wasn't like Jonathan's like, hey, you want to come with me? And he's like, all that it's in your heart, do as you wish. I'm with you heart and soul, right? He's like, let's go over there to this Philistine army and let's take on these guys. Let's go. And then he's like, all that's in your heart, do as you wish. I'm with you heart and soul, right? So the armor bearer knew where Jonathan wanted to go. But even still, he was saying, all that's in your heart, I'm with you heart and soul, right? Like, Jonathan is kind of like one of your crazy friends. You know, like, they always want to do crazy things. So I feel like all my friends are crazy, right? They always want to do crazy stuff, and I just want to, like, tag along with them, right? So there's a time when a few of my friends and I were just hanging out, and then it was, like, 10 p.m. at night. And they're like, hey, let's go to Missions Peak. And I was like, what? Why? Like, I don't know. It'd just be fun, right? And then they're like, let's just go, Missions Peak. And in my mind, it's, like, so ridiculous. Who here has been to Mission Peak? Is it like a pretty chill, leisurely hike? Yeah? Oh. She exercises. Good job. Awesome. Well, I've done Mission Peak a couple times, and it's definitely not easy, right? It's really intense. Plus, it's like 10 p.m. at night, right? You can't see anything. It's like dark. There are no lights out there. And so there's no we have no business being out there. But for some reason, the words that come out of my mouth is like, all right, let's go. Let's do this, right? And so we go, and it was pretty fun, honestly. It was nice. But the thing was, like, it was just enjoyable because I was with my friends. And it was really crazy. Honestly, on the way back, we were, like, running down the mountain. And I tripped and I fell. And I rolled my ankle, right? And it was really bad, actually. But still, it was fun because I was just with my friends, right? So people that you just hang out with, well, you can just be in their presence, and it's nice. You just want to be in their presence, right? It doesn't matter where you're going. And so even with this armor bearer, he was like, we could go to the depths of the pit. We could go fight these Philistines, but you know what? Do whatever's in your heart. I'm with you heart and soul, right? And I really believe that what allowed the armor bearer to say this is that he had this deep trust with Jonathan. And you might not be able to see this from the text here, but the thing is, the armor bearer is someone who bears your armor, right? It's someone who carries your weapons. They're with you all the time, right? Your armor is like basically your sign of like your honor. And so this armor bearer, he's with Jonathan all the time. And I don't think that he was carrying his armor all the time, but he was probably carrying his sword and he was following Jonathan everywhere. And so he got to see Jonathan live. He got to see Jonathan's lifestyle. He got to see Jonathan speak. He got to see Jonathan in his intimate moments. He got to see Jonathan in his crazy moments, right? He got to see all these different sides of Jonathan. I think through that, he built a relationship with Jonathan. He built a trust, right? There was this deep intimacy that this armor bearer had through walking with Jonathan. And so he's able to say, all that's in your heart, do as you wish. I'm with you heart and soul, right? Question I want to ask you is, are you able to open your life as you walk with people? Are you able to do that? And are you able to walk with people who've opened their hearts to you? Do you do that, right? I'm with you heart and soul. That's the phrase I love. I'm with you heart and soul. Basically what it's saying is, I'm standing with you, right? That friend that's always down. I've always wanted to be that friend who's always down, right, to do anything that my friends want to do. And I think the core desire of any person is a desire to be understood. I remember, like, being in relationships, we'd always fight. And the reason is, like, because, I mean, when it gets down to it, it's like, you're not really understanding what I'm trying to say, right? It doesn't really matter what we're talking about, right? But it's just because you don't understand what I'm trying to say. Like, I'm trying to say something to you, and the way that you're receiving it or the way that you're understanding it is not what I'm trying to communicate, right? At the core of every person, what I believe is that every person desires to be understood. That's like your deepest desire, right? And so even when you love, it's like you want to be understood. You want to be understood, right? And so when he says, I'm with you heart and soul, basically what he's saying is, I'm with you. I'm standing with you. You know what? We could do anything, but you know what? I'm going to be with you. And even if I don't necessarily want to go with wherever you want to go, I'm still going to stand with you, right? It's this deep level of understanding that isn't communicated through words, but it's through action. Like, I'm with you. I'm standing with you. And there's something powerful about that. My feelings, right? My mind, my desires, the heart, soul, right? They're for you. They're for you. And there's something that is communicated in that phrase, I'm with you heart and soul. It communicates that I'm with you. I'm standing with you and I'm for you, right? There's this acceptance. I mean, Jonathan's not asking something like just difficult. It's kind of crazy. He wants the two of them go over to the other side of this huge, like, pass, go up a mountain and fight a whole army of Philistines. It's basically what he wants to do, right? It's basically suicide. But this guy's saying, Jonathan, all that's in your heart, I'm with you, heart and soul, right? It starts with trust. It builds with intimacy. And when I have your heart, I'm able to defend it, right? It's loyalty. And this kind of love, it empowers you. I imagine Jonathan, when he said it to the armor bearer, I don't know, in my mind, he's kind of half expecting the armor bearer his reaction to be like, what? Like, you're crazy. Like, what are you, like, my lord, please don't, no, right? Mr. Frodo, no, right? Something like that, right? But what he says is crazy. It's like, all that's in your heart, do as you wish. I'm with you, heart and soul. And I imagine when he said that to Jonathan, Jonathan must have felt like so strengthened. He's like, dude, this guy's got my back, right? It encouraged him. He's like, all right, let's do this, right? you being passionate about doing something is probably one thing, but having someone say, you know what, I'm with you, let's do this, it encourages, it empowers you, it strengthens you, right? It makes you want to do it. It makes you feel like you're not alone and you're able to do it, right? That kind of love, it empowers you, it encourages you, right? There's a mutual edification. I feel like even as Jonathan asked him and as the armor bearer like said it to Jonathan, Jonathan was encouraged, but I feel like the armor bearer was also encouraged too in that moment. So it empowers and encourages. And there's a relationship that's built. It's a strengthening that happens, right? And the crazy thing about this story is in the passage before what we read, it says that in the whole army of Israel, there's only two swords. So one for Saul and one for Jonathan. And so the armor bearer is carrying it. So when they went to go fight, they had one sword. So I really don't know what the armor bearer fought with. I don't know, maybe a sheath or something. I don't know. But it says in the passage that they had to walk up. So just imagine there's this hill. And, I mean, if you're, like military strategy in your mind, if you're on top of a hill, it's always an advantage, right? They had to climb up this huge hill, okay? And then after they got to the top, they had to climb over and start fighting. And I don't know if you watch Lord of the Rings. I love Lord of the Rings, so I love watching it. And so they always fight at this castle. And there's always, like, a huge wall, right? And then there's always people that, like, hook ladders or something, and they climb up, and they're always the first ones to die. Always. They always die, right? It takes, like, a million people until they get to the top and they can, like, start fighting. But there's only two of them. And they get to the top, they have one sword, and somehow they fight, and they kill 20 people. Like, such an epic story. And it was God. You know, God was the one that empowered them. He strengthened them. But there's something about this relationship where armor bearer, he says, all that's in your heart, do as you wish. I'm with you, heart and soul. Like, that type of relationship, that type of love, that's the type of love I, like, desire to see in this house, where we can defend each other's hearts, defend each other's passions, where we hear people say, man, this is what I'm passionate for. This is what I'm excited to do. And someone comes up and says, dude, man, I'm with you. Let's do it. I'm with you. I'm with you, heart and soul. I'm with you, heart and soul. I'm right there. I understand. And I don't know how we're going to get there, but let's do it together. That kind of love, that's what I want to see. So that's the first kind of love, a love that protects, a love that guards, right? Amen? Amen. Okay, the second one, love that gives. I want us to turn to 1 Samuel 18, a couple chapters ahead. Love that gives, 1 Samuel 18. Okay, I'm going to read it. I'm just going to read the first 5 verses. Okay. As soon as they had finished speaking to Saul, the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day and would not let him return to his father's house. Then Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as his own soul. Okay. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was on him and gave it to David, and his armor, and even his sword and his bow and his belt. And David went out and was successful wherever Saul sent him, so that Saul sent him over to the men of war. And this was good in the sight of all the people and also in the sight of Saul's servant. So the story thus far is that David had just killed Goliath, right? This little boy, he had just killed the champion of the Philistines. And like the Philistines were like the most mighty army back at that time, right? So the champion of this mighty army, this little boy had killed Goliath. So David's walking in triumphant, and Jonathan and David build this relationship. And it says that Jonathan's soul was knit to David's soul, right? They became like best friends, best buddies. It's like when they say, you're like a brother, right? So that's the kind of relationship that they had. Jonathan's soul was knit to David's soul. And it says that Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as his own soul, okay? He loved David. Because he loved David as his own soul. I think that's important. It says, Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as his own soul. Okay? I think this is the first thing I want to point out. Jonathan didn't owe David anything. Okay? So Jonathan is the son of Saul, and Saul is the king of Israel, right? Which makes Jonathan what? The prince? Which makes him the next in line for the throne. Okay? What happened to David right before he slayed Goliath? He was anointed king. Okay, so David represents, David is supposed to be the next king, okay? As soon as Saul is done, David is supposed to be the next king. So if you think about it, like as the prince, as an heir to the throne, right? David is actually like a threat to you because he's basically taking everything that belongs to you, right? So if you think about it, Jonathan, I mean, he has every reason not to like David. He has every reason to despise David. He has every reason to hate David. But for some reason, when Jonathan sees David, it says his soul was knitted to David's soul. And they loved each other. Like, Jonathan loved David like he was his own brother, right? Even though Jonathan should have hated David. Like, everything that David represented, like, Jonathan should have hated that. But it says Jonathan loved David, and he loved him as his own soul. I think that's really important. It says, well, I think Jonathan, he loved his own soul. I think that's key. It wasn't like Jonathan didn't really care about what he had. He didn't care about the throne, but he loved himself. That's like a really important thing. You know, it says love your neighbor as yourself, right? You can't really begin to love your neighbor until you love yourself. If you can't love yourself well, and you can't learn how to accept yourself well, and you can't learn how to accept everything about you and really love yourself, you're unable to really give that love freely, right? So Jonathan, he loved himself. Like, he was probably a really proud man. I think about the story that we just read. Like, a person who doesn't really love himself is probably not going to be like, let's go over to those Philistines and let's kill them, right? He was probably a very proud man. He was proud of his heritage. He was proud that his father was king, right? He was royalty. Jonathan really loved himself, but it says that his soul was knitted to David's, and so he loved David like he loved himself. Like, that's how great his love for David was, right? And so Jonathan loved David, and it says that he loved him so much that he was willing to give him the robe off of his back, his armor, his sword, his belt, his bow. You know, like, when you think of a king and you think of, like, a warrior, like, those are the things that, like, signify their dignity, their honor, their authority, right? If I was Jonathan, I'd be plotting in my head, like, all these ways to get rid of David because that throne is mine, right? And I'm going to take it. But David walks in, and all of a sudden, Jonathan, not only does he love him, but he's helping him to establish something, like, in his destiny. And it almost seems like Jonathan has no regard for his position or his place. But it's because Jonathan loved David so much, he was able to give those things, right? A love that gives. Jonathan not only was able to give out of his abundance, but he was able to give out of the depths of everything. Like, he was able to give everything, right? To Jonathan, like, the throne, the power, the authority, like, for him, that's like everything. But he gave David all of those things. He gave him his robe, his armor, his sword, his belt, his bow, all these things that represent everything about who Jonathan is. Jonathan freely gives it to him. He freely gives it to him. And it says David goes out to battle, right? And he was successful wherever Saul went or wherever Saul sent him, right? David was successful. And Jonathan was able to empower David, encourage him, give him. Through his love, he was able to give all that he had for the sake of David because he loved him, right? How many of us are able to give like that? To love so much that we give until you're, like, losing something. Well, that doesn't make any sense. You're always losing something when you give. But, like, this was, like, Jonathan's destiny, right? This is what Jonathan believed was supposed to be his birthright. As a son of the king, my birthright is to be king, right? It's to succeed the throne. But he was able to give all of that and even support David. In the future, you look through the verses after, and Jonathan saves David multiple times, even when Saul's trying to kill him, right? Jonathan rescues him. And, like, in Jonathan's rightful mind, he should be helping Saul kill David. But Jonathan, through his love for David, he gave all that he had for him. So I'm going to talk about my friend. I'm going to talk about my friend Mickey. Mickey is an amazing guy. So I joined, Mickey and I came on staff here together at the same time. So in 2011, we joined an internship here. We started not working. We were interns here at the same time. And so, you know, we spent a lot of time together. Him and I went to college together, and we lived together. So we were, like, really, really good friends. And we did ministry together, right? And I remember there was a time when, like Mickey was getting promoted in the house, like, very fast. And, like, I'd come in at the same time as Mickey. And honestly, I'll kind of look And, like, there was a point where he was like, associate pastor. And I was like, what the heck? Like, in my heart, honestly, if I had to be really honest, right, I was like, kind of like, man, I spent just as much time here as Mickey. You know, I work just as hard as Mickey. Like, why is Mickey being promoted so quickly, right, and not me? Like, if I had to be really transparent, like, that's how I felt. That's really how I felt, right? And I felt, like, bitterness inside of my heart. And it's not the kind of love that Jonathan had for David. But you know what the crazy thing is? Like, when we started doing young adults, right, I began the young adults ministry, became the young adults pastor. Like, the first thing that Mickey did when he came to me was, Daniel, whatever you need help with, bro, let me, like, just ask. I'll help you. Whatever you need. Hey, do you need worship for young adults? Man, I'll do it. And at the time, we didn't have all these different worship teams. Like, Mickey was leading worship every service, right? For three services on Sundays, Wednesday night prayer. Like, he was doing worship every single time, right? But he was like, man, if you need worship, bro, I got it. Just tell me and I'll do it. Whatever you need, just let me know, man. And, like, that was the kind of, like, I felt so loved. I felt so supported, and I felt sad because, you know, when he was being promoted, I was like, got some bitterness in my heart. But, man, when like, God was doing a new thing with the young adults, and I was a part of that, he was so happy for me, right? And I imagine that's how Jonathan was. When he saw David get promoted, and even to, like, take his position, he was like, David, whatever you need, I'm here for you. David, whatever you ask me, I'll give it to you because I love you, because you're like a brother to me. Our souls are knit together. There's not enough that I could give to you because I love you, right? And even when I left to go work at the school, right, there was a season where I took time off from being staff here and I worked at a school. I know, because I talked to Mickey, like, he had desires, like, man, I kind of want to maybe go work outside of the church, blah, blah, blah. Like, he had these thoughts, right? But, like, he didn't complain. He wasn't bitter at all. But he was just so supportive. He was like, man, like, yeah, let me know whatever you need. And dude, like, if you need time off because you're working, blah, blah, blah. He's just so supportive. And I felt like that really changed my perspective on how to love, right? On knowing how to give so freely, so selflessly, right? See, Mickey's brightness, there was, like, a brightness to him. Like, when you give, like, there's, like, a brightness to you. And, like, I kind of resented that brightness at first, right? If I had to be really honest. It was almost like, why are you so good? I don't really like that. No. I'm just kidding. No. There was this brightness. But initially, like, there was resentment in my heart, right? But for Jonathan, like, David had this brightness, and Jonathan was drawn to that. He was drawn to that brightness. And what he did was he wanted to encourage and strengthen that brightness. He saw the brightness in David, and he was like, hey, whatever you need, I want to give to you. I want to support you. Whatever I can do, I want to give to you, right? At the expense of his own destiny, right? He knew. If David was king, he would not be king, right? And usually what happens, like, if someone from the previous royalty exists, I mean, usually they're, like they're dead, right? Like, you got to remove them. But even in the midst of facing that, he was like, David, whatever you need, I want to support you, right? This kind of love, it supports, it builds up, it gives life, right? And so at the end, you know, like I shared, Jonathan, he goes on and he helps David run from Saul. He saves his life. It was actually many years before David actually returns to become king. But throughout that time, Jonathan, he does everything that he can to protect, to support, to love David in that way, right? A love that gives. A love that gives. The last kind of love I want to talk about is a love that lays down. Okay? A love that lays down. So I want you to turn to Philippians 2. Read from Philippians 2. Philippians 2, verse 4, 4 through 8. Okay? It says, let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. You know, the thing is, Jesus was with the Father from the beginning, right? The Son was with the Father from the beginning, and he took on human form when he came down to be born as a human being, right? But the thing is, in this verse, it says, Jesus, though he was in the form of God, he didn't count equality with God a thing to be grasped. Which means that Jesus didn't have this feeling of entitlement. Right? Jesus was fully God. But he didn't feel entitled to the fact that he was God. Like when Jesus came as human form, he wasn't like, oh, humans, I'm God, but look at all these humans. They think they know something. Right? Or like he wasn't bitter because he was God, but now he's human. Right? But he didn't have that entitlement mentality. He was fully God. Right? Jesus didn't owe us anything. I think kind of like with Jonathan, Jesus, he didn't have to do anything for us. He didn't owe anything to us. But he removed his glory. He removed his splendor. He took it off. Right? Like an omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient God for humans. I'm just like, I don't know how to, I'm a very visual person. So, like, a lot of this, like, conceptual stuff is kind of hard. But I'm just thinking, like, if you're 3D, right? And then suddenly now you go from 3D to 2D. You're a cartoon. Right? You're very limited in what you can do, right? But it's, like, personally, like, choosing to become 2D. Right? So much restriction. I know it's, like, a whole different level. But in my mind, that helps me understand. Okay? It helps me understand. An omnipotent God. Okay? The God that created the universe. He created this universe. It's like the author of Calvin and Hobbes. Like Calvin Hobbes, like he becomes a character in the comic book, right? The creator of heavens and the earth, he removes all of his glory, all of his splendor, his omnipotence, his omniscience, his omnipresence, like all of his godness to become in the form of his creation, okay? He comes, and he didn't count his godness to be something to be grasped. You know, I don't know if you guys saw this video. I saw this video on online. Do you guys remember all the old Disney movies? Like the good Disney movies? Like Lion King and Little Mermaid and, you know, like all those, like back in those times, Disney movies. So there's like an animator who did all those movies. He drew all those like movies, right? And he's talking about like the process of how he, you know, he drew and like how he created those characters and how it's like he doesn't just create characters the way he thinks. He like thinks of people and then he acts those people out and then he like that's how he creates, right? There's a process and he like brings those characters to life. But so like that was the whole point of the video. But in the video, he's talking about this new technology where it's like virtual reality. So he puts on this mask and now he's not just drawing 2D, he's drawing like 3D. Like he can move and his creation is here and he's drawing like 3D. And he's just talking about how it's like a whole different world, right? It opens up this whole different world of being able to animate, being able to draw, being able to create. And so I just said that to share. I'm just imagining God in his omniscience, right? Coming down to 2D and going from that to, anyway, okay. Okay, I just thought that was a cool story. Okay. So Jesus is in human form. Let me get back. Let me bring it back. So Jesus is in human form, right? And he removed all of his glory, all of his splendor, all that makes him God in glory, okay? And he puts on human form. And not only that, he comes as a human and he humbles himself even to the point of death and death on a cross, okay? He is God. And not only did he remove all that, he came as a human, which is like humiliating if you think about it. And then not only that, but he is put to death by the very things that he created, right? But he didn't count it as something to be grasped. He didn't feel entitled. Do you guys ever, okay. So I used to play a lot of video games, okay? And so, like, once you get to, like, a certain place where you've played enough, like, you kind of feel proud of your skills. Doesn't mean you're good. Just means that you're proud. Okay, so I remember, like, I would, like, hear people talk. Like, I would overhear people talking, right, about, like, how good they are. Or, like, they would be talking about things. And sometimes I'd, like, roll my eyes because I thought I was so good, right? So, like, I don't know. Like, I don't know. But anyway, I was gonna share. So okay, like okay, Pokemon. I used to play Pokemon, and some people would be talking about Pokemon, and I'd be like, "Oh, so dumb!" Like, obviously, Bulbasaur is better than Pikachu because this is plant type and blah blah. Okay, that. But basically, what I'm trying to say is, Jesus didn't have any of that. Okay. See, when I was preparing, in my mind, it was so much better. Okay, but anyway. You feel me, Jacob? You feel me? With me, heart and soul? All right, you got me, bro? Okay. But Jesus, he didn't have that entitlement. He didn't feel the need to feel pride or grasp the fact that he was God. And that he was equal to God, right? But even being with people, right, he never felt like, oh, I'm better than you, or you're so dumb, or why are you thinking these things, right? He never compared the people around him, the people that he came to serve, he never compared it to his former glory, you know? He was completely humble. Not only humble, but humble to even die, right? And it wasn't just to die, but it was so that we would have life. And not just life, but relationship with him, right? Like, I think about Jesus, and I think about, man, Jesus had every right. He had every right not to do that. He's God. He's the creator of this universe. He could just throw everything away if he wants. Like, there's no reason why he had to come. Absolutely none. Right? Jesus, he had every right. Like, it's not just like he didn't have to do it, but he had every right to do it. Right? He's the creator. He is the highest, most powerful being. Right? He has every right. But he laid down that right. He laid it down for us because he loved us. He laid it down because of love. And he was able to lay all of that down because he loved us. Because he saw us and he saw our depravity. And he knew that there was only one way, right? It was for him to lay it down. And it was because of love. He was able to lay down the right that he had, right? He had the right. Like, he wouldn't have felt guilty if he didn't do it. Like, everything would have been fine and good, and he had every right to do it, but he didn't. Right? I guess that love to lay down, right? It makes me think, the love to lay down, man, am I able to lay down the rights that I have for the sake of my brother? Right? If I'm able to love like Christ, what kind of rights do I have that I could lay down in order to love my brothers and sisters, right? If we're trying to build a community here at Living Hope Christian Center where we say, man, I want to build covenant relationship with you, I'm saying I want to love you in a deep and intimate way, right? Then in what way can I love like Jesus? The way that Jesus loved was to lay down his life. The way that he loved was to lay down his right to be God, to lay down his right to be and watch us and destroy us, right? He laid down that right out of love for us. How can we love like Jesus loves, right? How can we lay down that right? And I want to share this one story, and I promise it'll be better. But at the Young Adults Retreat, I remember that first night, Pastor Mike, he said something that was so, man, like, it was so profound to me. He said, being right isn't always right. He said, but being righteous is always right. Right? Being right isn't always right. Being righteous is always right. And I think that really hit me, like, in a really deep place, because I'm a very prideful person, and a lot of my arguments is because I need to be right. Like, I need you to know that I'm right. And there was something, like, there was a relationship that I had where there had been some distance that had been created because we were both, well, for me, I felt like I was right. And I was like, there's no reason why I should approach this person and I should talk to them first because I'm right. But when he said that to me, man, like, it, like, hit me in like the innermost, deepest place. And I was, I was so convicted. And so I went up to my brother Juan. And like Juan is like such a dear brother to me. And Juan is like one of my most loyal friends. Like the thing about Juan is that he is loyal. When you talk about armor bearer, like I'm with you heart and soul, like that personifies, oh, Jason, I guess. I call him Juan. But Jason, that like personifies him. That's like who he is, right? And like for me, to have this rift in my relationship with Juan was like so painful. But in my head, I'm like, no, but I'm right. But I'm right. I'm justified. I'm right. I shouldn't have to like talk to him first. And so I remember I went, and it was so crazy because we had like worship, I think, or I forget what happened, but I ended up not in my seat and I was just like worshiping. And then Pastor Mike was like, all right, turn to the person next to you and I want you to, oh, he was talking about ripping up contracts, right? What contract did it? And I turned and the person standing next to me was one. And I was like, oh God, like we're going to have to do this, right? But this is the crazy thing. Like we come and we stand next to each other and the first thing that one says is, bro, I need to apologize to you. And we both, like, just start breaking down. It's kind of embarrassing. We're like two grown men. We're like crying. Like, there are points where we can't even talk because we're, like, crying. And we, like, don't want to show that we're crying. So we're, like, standing next to each other. So we don't even see each other, right? We're, like, heckin' crying. But, man, it was like when he said, because I know one, too. And I know that he has that, like, not that I need to be right, but he has that pride as a man, right? And like for him to open up to me and say that he was sorry, and man, we just like went into all these, it's like it instantly opened my heart. Instantly. It was almost like that gap that had existed or what we felt like had existed, it just like disappeared in an instant, like in a moment. And I knew too, like when Juan said it, the reason why it was like so powerful was because I know how much it took for him to say that to me. I know how much he had to lay down his right to be right, right? And like immediately that gap, that distance, it like disappeared. And that love that I have for him, it's just like, it was like it had never receded, right? Like there's this instant, like when you're able to lay down your right, when you're able to lay down your right for the sake of love, there's something that happens. There's like a bridging of distance, right? There's like a connecting of hearts. I felt like even though for months, one in my heart was so distant and my heart was so cold to his, like instantly there was like a connection. There was like an immediate connection, right? And a rekindling of that love. It's not that I didn't love him, but there was just a connection that happened, right? An instant openness, laying down your right for the sake of love. Man, like when Jesus died, that's what he did, right? When he laid down his right, when he died for us, he was bridging that gap. The gap that was impossible to be bridged. Jesus laid down his life to bridge that gap. And then when he rose again, right, what he did was he empowered us to do the same. He empowered us to be able to lay down our lives. He empowered all his sons and daughters to lay down our lives for the sake of love, to do what he did, right? And so what does that look like? I know that's like what does that really look like? Like, where do you feel like you have the right? Where do you feel like you have rights? So I was just like thinking, like as I was preparing, I was like, man, like what area in the church do I have rights? And so, I don't know, I was just thinking, you know, maybe after service, my right is that I could be comfortable with my friends. I could just stand with the people that I'm comfortable with. That's my right. Like, I have the right to be comfortable. But can you lay down that right? Can you lay down your right to be comfortable so that you could go and introduce yourself to someone new? You could go and talk to people you aren't close with, right? To open your heart. Can you lay down that right? I have the right to be upset at someone who wronged me. But can you lay down that right? Right? If you've been wronged, you have a right to be upset. You have a right to, I don't know, shun the person. You have a right to feel that way. But can you lay down that right to bring restoration, to bridge the gap? Right? What is your right? And I think Jesus didn't consider his right to be God as something to be grasped, but he laid it down, right? And I think in the Spirit, when you're in the Spirit, when you're walking in the Spirit, right, you're able to say, what right can I lay down? You're able to look and say, hey, what right do I have that I could lay down for the sake of those that I love? When you're in the flesh, You say, what about me? Well, what about me? I want to be comfortable. I want to be around my friends. It's about you. But when you're in the Spirit, you're like, Christ, what right can I lay down so that I can love the people around me? So that I could build covenant relationship. I could build covenant community with those around me. Where I could build an atmosphere of love. I could build an atmosphere of trust. I could build an atmosphere of openness, right? Well, people can see my heart. For the sake of love, are you able to lay down your right? So a love that protects, a love that gives, and a love that lays down, right? My heart, really, and I think as we enter into this season of, you know, new community, and I really hope that you guys are able to come on Sunday to hear what this new community structure is. But, man, that's what I desire to see. And it's not about rules and regulations, but it's about relationship. It's about, man, how much more can I love you, right? How much more? And I want, man, my passion is to see that. My passion is to grow in that in myself. Like, I'm in no way perfect in any of these three categories. But, man, my desire is like, man, I want to be like Jesus. I want to love like Jesus does, right? My heart is, man, can we be a community that loves the way Jesus does? Can we be a community that opens our hearts, that lays down our rights, that protects, that gives, right? Can our hearts be open to that? Can we be a community that is able to receive even the people that come who don't know the love of Jesus, but they enter and all of a sudden they just experience this crazy, extravagant love. And they have no idea what it is. And they're like, "What? I don't know what is wrong with these people, but for some reason, like, I'm drawn to them because of the way that they love," right? So that's my heart. That's my desire, and that's my passion. I desire and I long to see our community to build a culture where we're able to love in that kind of way, a love that protects, a love that gives, and a love that lays down. Amen? Let's pray. Yeah, God, I just thank you so much that you're a God that loves. God, we love because you love first, Lord. And there's nothing in us, nothing that we could give on our own, that's the love that we need to give. There's nothing that we have to offer. But God, because you loved us first, because Jesus, you came and you laid down your life for us, because you loved us, God, we're able to love. God, we're able to lay down our lives in the same way. Lord God, I just pray that tonight you'd give us a revelation of that love. God, you would give us a revelation of what you did on the cross, what that meant, Lord. God, that the death and resurrection of Jesus, it's about life. It's about wholeness. It's about a love that came to give us the fullness of life. And God, the life that we can give, that life in us, God, we're able to give it freely to the people around us. And Lord, I pray that tonight you would awaken that in our hearts. God, you would stir it in our hearts, a passion, a desire to live that life of love. God, a life of love, a life that desires to give that love away. The love that you've given, Lord. And Lord, it first begins by understanding your love. God, it's not a love that we can give, our own love, but it's a love that you've given us. And so tonight, God, I just pray that you would just renew, God, renew that love, that love that you gave to us. God, what you did for us on the cross, God. Yeah, let's just take a moment. Let's just remember the love that he gave.